The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony. How are you?
Boker Tov, Kathy. Yeah, good. I thought we'd just start with a quick update about Cyber Arakat. We spoke about it yesterday, about the mixed messages that were coming out, whether, in fact, he was even alive or not. Some reports suggesting he might have died from coronavirus. So there was an update that was received from the Hadassah Ein Kerem Hospital in Jerusalem to say that he continues to be in serious condition but stable. And interestingly, he has been put onto a heart-lung machine because as we discussed, he's somebody who had a lung transplant back in 2017. And so we understand from the hospital that he's been put on the so-called ECMO machine, a heart-lung machine, to allow his blood to be oxygenated outside of his body and to allow his lungs an opportunity to rest and to heal. And so from this, I think we can gather that he's really getting the best possible treatment that Israel can offer him. He has received apparently concentrated convalescent plasma with very high levels of anti-COVID antibodies, and he's being ventilated on high concentration of oxygen and nitric oxide gas, which apparently is what comes out of the hospital report.
So interesting. I mean, as a lung transplant recipient, he would have to be on immune suppressant medications.
I would imagine
which would probably help him.
Highly complex.
It would probably help him because what kills people is the COVID, is the cytokine storm, which is an immune response. It's an overreaction. So you know what? He might actually pull through this.
What the hospital is saying is that his care is being coordinated with lung transplant specialists in Israel and abroad in order to provide him with the best possible care. I mean, what we understand, of course, is as a lung transplant recipient, I'm guessing that his body was already suffering from some level of strain in terms of sufficient oxygenation levels as a result of the lung disease that he suffered in the past. And of course, that doesn't help his cause where COVID is concerned. So, quite a detailed statement from the hospital just to confirm, of course, that he is alive and to talk a little bit about his condition. So that's an official update as opposed to the rumors that we were talking about yesterday.
Thank you very much for that, Anthony. Anthony, let's talk about what happened last night. Last night, Gaza militants fired a rocket into Israel in response to the discovery of an underground tunnel from Gaza into Israel. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so it's been a kind of quite a crazy sequence of events. Israel, the IDF announces that they found this tunnel that has been dug underneath the Israeli border. It comes from the Khan Yunis area towards the Israeli border. And from what we are led to believe, the border barrier that is currently being put in place on the border between Israel and Gaza by Israeli security authorities has been helpful in detecting this tunnel. So that's just an interesting snippet. I'm not exactly sure how it's been helpful. What I do know is that the tunnel, what we've been told by the reports, is that the tunnel actually crossed into Israeli territory before it was discovered. It didn't present any threat to anybody in terms of the way that it had been dug, but we do know that the border barrier somehow managed to intercept that tunnel. So from that, we understand that the border barrier really must be on the Israeli side of the border, very much on the Israeli side of the border, that the tunnel would have come into Israeli territory and only then been intercepted by the barrier. There are also various reports that in the meantime, Gaza militants are trying to find their ways around this border barrier. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it. The barrier itself seems to be very, very extensive, well thought out, something which is almost insurpassable, but who knows. But of course, in response to that announcement that this border, the underground tunnel was discovered, Gaza militants then decided to fire a rocket into Israel. This was their way of expressing their frustration that this has come out in the open media, I'm guessing. I can't understand any other reason for the rocket to have been fired. As it turns out, the rocket was intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome system. So that gives us reason to believe that the rocket would have landed within some sort of a residential area or place where people move around, and therefore Iron Dome was activated in order to intercept the rocket. As a result of that particular rocket fire, the IDF, of course, sent further forces in last night into Gaza to destroy certain terror infrastructure within Gaza, a fairly limited response by the IDF by all accounts, a part of the ongoing kind of, well, you do this and we do that, and we know exactly what will be coming next. We understand as well that the IDF, Israel was reported to have struck targets in southern Syria as well. So it seems to have been a fairly active night for the Israeli security services overall. But obviously, this issue of the underground tunnels is a very serious one, and is the new kind of latest form of terror, in a sense, that the community in the south is having to have to deal with. Because it is certainly very scary to think about the possibility that terrorists might be moving around right underneath the ground where you live. That's a very scary prospect for people to have to deal with. And so it is certainly a form of terrorism which people are having to come to terms with.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back to 2014, I mean, that was when, you know, the major tunnel network was discovered. And do you remember that story? I mean, there are two stories that stand out from that for me. Is one is the lady who had been hearing voices for years, and she was actually seeking medical attention. Turns out that there were tunnels under her home, and those were the voices that she was hearing. Do you remember that, Anthony?
I do remember those stories,
and
yes.
The other one was a religious group. They were looking for wheat that could be turned into Yoshan flour.
Right,
and
I remember that.
They did a special negotiation with this farmer. It was like a very, very quick thing, and the farmer sold his field to this religious group that would then be able to use it to make flour yoshin. They went and they ploughed the field. They started processing it like quick because it was Pesach was coming up. They had to get the yoshin flour, and there were all these tunnels that were discovered. Now, if they hadn't
I think there was one thing. I think there was an opening that came up in the middle of that field, and when they harvested the field, then that tunnel opening was exposed.
Yes.
I remember that.
And if
very
they hadn't done the mitzvah of looking for flour that they'd wanted to make yoshin, then they wouldn't have discovered the tunnel. I mean, it really is quite extraordinary when you think about it. Okay, so where do we sit now? And are we absolutely sure that this is not part of Bibi Netanyahu's politicking? And you know why I'm asking
sure
that.
Anything 100%. We can never be sure of it 100% because, the question is, you know, has this news been preserved over time and allowed to surface now? You know, a lot of the cynics are saying, well, this is all, whatever we read about, whatever news is being released, is being released in a way in order to try to preserve the current government, which, as we discussed yesterday, suffering a popularity crisis. And so everything that comes out at the moment has a certain question mark around it as to whether it is real, first of all, and second of all, whether the timing might have been put together in such a way to try to support the government. And we can't be sure exactly when this tunnel was discovered. We know that it was released, that information was released yesterday. But the possibility certainly exists that this tunnel may have been discovered some time ago, and that the timing of the release of the information has been simply put together in order to help the government. I don't know for sure, and I certainly wouldn't want to try to speculate about that, other than to put forward the views of some of the people, cynics from both sides of the fence, who hold a certain view. It seems to be quite clear, however, that there was a tunnel discovered, whether it was now, whether it was some time ago. Some sort of a tunnel has been discovered. We know that these tunnels present a threat to us. We can't pretend anything else. And so the issue of tunnels is a serious one, no matter what the view of our government is or what they're trying to do to influence the way that we think about them. The issue of tunnels is a very serious one. And the strength of the border the wall that's being dug dozens of meters underground as an obstacle both below the ground and above the ground, and all the technology that's surrounding that wall in order to try to locate tunnels and to prevent them from being dug. All of that is real, is really important, and hopefully will continue onward.
All right. Anthony, Rene messaging us from Israel. She's one of our listeners in global listeners. She says, by now the IDF should have bombed every nook and cranny available. They have been striking back for so long. There should be no more targets left, don't you think? She raises a good point.
Well, there is a very controversial issue about the extent to which Israel should respond to threats across our borders. On the one hand, there seems to be a double standard applied towards Israel, which says it's okay for Gaza militants to fire rockets towards Israel because Israel has all the security and people are not being hurt anyway, and we have the Iron Dome system which intercepts these rockets, so why should we be complaining? And there is certainly no justification for Israel to go and fire rockets towards Gaza civilians, because they don't have the ability to protect themselves in the way that Israel does. So therefore, this is an unfair war. And as far as the international community is concerned, Israel needs to behave responsibly and not be too over-enthusiastic about responding to simple, little, unimportant issues like rockets being fired towards our civilian community. That's one view that certainly has been put forward. I would suggest that if a rocket was fired across the border into South Africa, or fired from Canada into the United States, or from Mexico into the United States, or if a rocket was fired from, I don't know, Turkey into Greece, that there would be an uproar. One single rocket would be enough probably to almost precipitate a war along whatever border, you know, one could think about. Because that's just not how things are done in this modern day and age, and that's not an acceptable form of behavior. Of course, for Israel, it's very acceptable, and so the world seems to judge Israel in a slightly different way. Of course, Israel has the firepower to create a parking lot out of Gaza, as the cynical statement says. You know, we could create a parking lot out of Gaza, and certainly Israel has the firepower to do so. The world, however, would be quite so happy to hear the news, and Israel would certainly suffer on the diplomatic side. So, you know, I don't know how what's acceptable and not acceptable in this particular view. The world has become accustomed, I think, to the fact that Israel is able to protect herself, to the fact that Israel responds very, very minimally in terms of reacting to these events. And that's the way we are being judged right now. The moment we send 3 missiles into Gaza to respond to such an event last night, rather than 2 missiles, we can expect to be castigated in the international community.
Yeah. Anthony, look, we're going to have to leave it here, but this is obviously an ongoing conversation. You know, I mean, one of the questions to look at is, or to maybe think about answering is, you know, if there was a Palestinian state, would a rocket into Israel be seen differently? Just a question.
Well, it is an interesting question. And of course, you know, one of the things that we constantly say, and is worth saying again, is that Israel spends more of its money on on establishing and developing defense systems than it does on developing attack systems. And, you know, while it's clear that Israel has a very, very strong attack capability, but its defensive capabilities are amazing, and certainly world class. And that comes from a need somewhere. That doesn't just pop up from nowhere. That's, you know, what we mentioned this idiom yesterday or the day before, that necessity is the mother of invention. And that's definitely the case here, that, you know, the defensive systems are a necessity. So, yeah, there are lots of things that we wanted to talk about. We didn't get on to talking about Sudan like we said we would yesterday. Yeah. I also wanted to talk about this ANC statement that came out. Let's try and fit in whatever we can tomorrow. There's lots and lots to talk about.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anthony. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Howard Feldman is back on your radio tomorrow. And really, just thank you very much. It really has been wonderful speaking to you.